Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and Carl Carlson's online. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, you know, it's by the time this episode comes out, it'll be springtime. So we're recording this when it's freezing. So hopefully our normal cycle will go and we'll thaw out and do all those good things. It's a time, you know, the season when things are starting to grow again, stuff's turning green, plants are coming back, trees are leafing out, all that other good stuff. You know, I love springtime. But, you know, reliability hasn't, have we ever had like a big renewal? I'm trying to think of an analogy with the seasons. Does reliability have seasons?
Yeah. It has very long seasons. There was the season of everything was test and fix. Mm-hmm. Then there was the season of let's shift into reliability by design. And the season of reliability physics, and somebody can listeners can jump in as to what the next season is.
Well, I certainly have an idea. I mean, we're seeing it so much more of the risk and risk management. Even the ASQ reliability division changed their name to reliability and risk. I have a trouble with that though. I don't know that it's. It's that new. I think the rest of the world is finally catching on that we already talk about risk.
We've been talking about risk for a long, long time and characterizing it in reliability. There is an aspect of it, though, that I think there's some growth potential within reliability. Oh. And it's a topic that I'd love to chat with you on.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come right back to it, and we'll dive into it.
Hi, this is Adam Barrett of Apex Ridge Reliability. I want to invite you to take a look and get a copy of 50 Ways to Improve Product Reliability. It's a reliability book created for a broad audience on how to incorporate reliability tools and methods in the product development program. To get a copy, go to ascendoreliability.com/go/50ways. That's 50WAYS.
Right. So when I first heard that ASQ changed their division name to Reliability and Risk Management, or to Reliability and Risk Division, I think it is, I wonder if that was mandated. I don't know why they did that, if it was just a topic grab, like a land grab. Or enough of their members were saying, hey, we need to provide content on this. We need to focus on it. But you mentioned that we've been talking about it for a long time, but yet it's expanding. And so what are you seeing from your clients and from what your perspective? What are you seeing is driving this increase in the language around risk and risk management?
Yeah, I'm seeing a focus from clients, and this has to do with their customers, on globalization and on ISO standards that relate to risk management. And so there's a gradual shift to standardization across different regions so that a company doesn't have to merely focus on developing products for North America only, or Europe only, or Asia only. Mm-hmm. In other words, and part of that standardization, they're lining up with ISO standards that prescribe or describe or guidelines or standards, that type of thing, on the subject of risk management. And from medical devices to automotive to electronics, the different fields, a lot more discussion about risk management at a standards level. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, I'm trying to remember the number of it. I think it's 14,000 or a series of standards, but there's a risk management framework, and it describes not necessarily a detailed, like ISO 9000, something that can be audited, that you have a plan, you do the plan, do all this, all these various elements are expected to be in the plan. It basically sets out a framework for how do you organize and become aware of the risks that are facing your organization. And it's well beyond reliability, right? It's beyond the chance of a recall. It's the chance of political boundaries changing. It's the chance of, we used to call it scenario planning when I worked at strategic stuff in businesses. You know, well, what if this bad thing happens? What's our response?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. We did have the same thing. Some of it was on security. Some of it was on products. But how do you react to severe issues? Mm-hmm. But it is getting better defined, mm-hmm, what risk is. Risk was always a very general word, and now it's getting some more specific definitions. If I was to summarize, and this is not, you know, there are different standards on risk, and the definitions are not exactly the same.
Right.
But it integrates the risk of severity with the likelihood of harm. And if you take those two components, severity and likelihood of harm, then you can talk about risk, and how you do that is the subject of standards, and what you do to measure it, what you do to achieve it, those are the subject of standards. And that's where a lot of the focus on risk is. I would suspect, and I don't have inside knowledge on this, but I would suspect ASQ is lining up with the many companies that are shifting more towards global standardization and aligning with ISO standards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I suspect so. And I'm sure it'll come more clear as we get a chance to talk to a number of these folks and see what's going on. I know that Greg Hutchins has been writing about risk and risk management. He's got a series of books out that are actually, I should do a little blurb here, they're actually available on and through Ascendo Reliability underneath the resources section and ebooks and books by the authors on the site. But he and a number of his authors have been writing about engineering or enterprise risk management. And he's often been saying that, you know, reliability folks are just lined up to talk about this stuff. We look at the longer term. We consider the various options. What you just described, Carl, is I was immediately calling a hazards analysis, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's expanded rather than just FMEA for a new design or safety for a medical product and its use. It goes into business considerations and competition and what do they call it? A SWOT analysis? Is that?
Oh,
right
I don't
term?
Have that. Don't know that acronym. I should probably. But just to comment on hazard analysis, that is I would characterize that as a subset of the risk analysis tools.
Right. It's a piece of it. But when you talk about it, you know, what could happen, what's the consequences and how likely are those bad or good things going to happen? We've been doing that for years.
We have. Years and years. Here's my thought, Fred, on what we have been doing and what we haven't characterized well enough. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to the 90s and even the 80s and going into the early 2000s. The focus of the definition of reliability is what everybody knows, the probability or the likelihood that you will accomplish a certain mission under the stated conditions and all of the customer usage profiles and for a given period of time. Mm-hmm. Now, the likelihood of accomplishing a mission can be whatever those mission functions are. Some of them are safety related. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not. So reliability itself does not say that you've covered the safety. In other words, reliability covers safety and performance. So it can be, you could have functions that relate to aesthetics.
Right.
And if you don't meet them, you're not meeting your reliability.
Well, I agree, Carl. And one of the things we often do is, in these kinds of analysis, we say, well, what happens if this power supply fails? Well, the system goes cold. Well, does that cause harm? Is that a problem? You know, if it's a pump in New Orleans during a hurricane, that's a bad thing. So we want to make sure that we don't, if that power supply fails, we have another way to get power to the pumps. Where if it's an iPhone, the chance that you need the phone functional for an emergency call is much, much lower than when you're pumping out New Orleans during a hurricane kind of thing. So I think it's all relative. But what I find is that we've been limited to looking at the functions of a process or a system, a product, oftentimes. Where what I'm seeing in the ISO standards now is aimed more at the business level. It's not a product level. It's a portfolio of products. It's your impact on society to some extent.
Absolutely.
Right? So that goes well beyond what our typical discussions, the impact to business. Some reliability folks get involved with, well, what is the chance of a product recall due to some functional failure of our product, if it's not designed well, if it fails too often, for example, or causes harm when it fails. But that's where we're touching into what I think is more what the ISO standards are talking about now, is more of a tops down. We want to be aware of what the potential risks are from these many different sources, not just product failure. And how does that all fit together, incorporate? And then there's that prioritization process, the triage essentially of, well, what do we do if this happens? And what's the things that we need to put in place or mitigate? Just like we would do with an FMEA, here's our top issues. What can we do to minimize that risk or mitigate it along the way? And then it's what I'm seeing in the frameworks now is it's like the ISO 9000, is that there's a feedback mechanism so that you can continue to improve your risk management process. And that seems to be a favorite thing of ISO standards.
Yes.
Which is good.
Sure it is. So let's talk about the scope of risk. I think you're absolutely correct, Fred, that there can be business risk. So it could be timing, it could be financial, it could be marketing. Then there's product risk, which obviously can affect business risk. And we're focused primarily on product risk in the reliability world. Mm-hmm. But even within, so that's a very correct statement. But even within product risk, and a lot of the ISO standards talk about product risk and what the methods are that will achieve that, there are two comments that I've been thinking about here. One is, one of the tools that's very useful to help quantify risk is fault tree analysis, mm-hmm. where you can take if you can define the unwanted event, then you can characterize it and get the probability of the unwanted event, which could be harmful, it could be safety related, or it could be marketing related, whatever. Mm-hmm. So fault tree is a really good tool. FMEA is a very good tool, but I need to explain to listeners a caveat, because in risk management standards, severity and likelihood of harm are components of risk. However, in FMEA, severity is there, but it's the likelihood of the failure mode slash cause, not the likelihood of the harmful effect.
Right.
And so practitioners need to be aware that the FMEA does not automatically get at the risk that you're looking for in risk management on ISO standards. You have to do probabilistic risk assessment, whatever tools you use, including fault tree or other types of probabilistic tools, to get at the risk that is being described in the ISO standards.
I see it as a similar difference when we're focused on safety of a product's performance, which is in its use and harm to, say, a patient in a medical device, versus oftentimes what I'm involved with an FMEA, it's what's the chance that the product just fails. The consequence may impact the end user or the patient, yet it's not it's a little shift of focus. I think we have now with this risk management stuff, it reinforces what both you and I have talked about many times, Carl, is that if we're going to propose an improvement to reliability for something, well, what's the business case for that? What's the risk to the business if we don't improve it? But likewise, what's the beneficial upside risk if we do improve it? And being conversant on how a product's position in the market versus its competition is something that we should be conversant with. We should be able to articulate that this is matching up with our overall business strategy and our product is aligning with and with minimal risk to affecting the overall strategy.
Yeah, very good. I think if people do a really good job on a reliability plan, then risk should be reduced to an acceptable level for the product that's being managed mm-hmm. with a reliability plan. So I think reliability practitioners have the core, in my opinion, have the core body of knowledge that supports risk management in the ISO standards context or the ASQ standards context. I think that the reliability tools that we talk about in our day-to-day business, and somebody that's conversant and knowledgeable about the application of those tools has the skills that are needed to do risk management, as long as they also study the risk standards and the risk literature
that's out there. Well, one good mm-hmm. technique is just read the articles by Greg and his core of authors on CIRM. Risk Insights, I think, is the name of his series.
Excellent.
I agree. So, Carl, are you going to go out and change your business card to risk manager?
No, I'm not going to do that. Well, a caution. Let's take the opportunity here to communicate a caution. I am cautious in implementing ISO standards and taking on the latest trend. There are trends that take place, and I don't want to. I think that we have to stay grounded in core principles and not just adopt a particular trend in order to gain acceptance. And the caution that I issue is that there can be many good things in ISO standards, but you still need to understand core principles, core knowledge, because you can't just follow a standard and expect success if you don't understand the underlying principles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, very well said, Carl. And I'm just thinking of the total quality management phase we went through, and then it's been, now it's the Lean Six Sigma stuff, and that's kind of getting pushed to the extreme where companies don't understand the principles, but just slash and cut everything to the bare bones or beyond and say, well, how come this lean thing isn't working? Risk and risk management has value. I have no doubt about it. Yet it's not something to completely reorganize and restructure. I do think as reliability professionals, we do have a unique skill set and can contribute to getting the most out of that and making it useful for not only the reliability programs, but for our customers and for our shareholders and everybody else, is that if we can minimize risk, it's not a bad thing. There's still a lot of language to be understood. There's still a bunch of procedures and organizations and communication paths that need to be sorted out. But I think reliability folks are in a good position to be a very valuable participant in those enterprise risk management programs.
Yeah, I agree. The smart thing to do from a reliability professional point of view is stay grounded in your core body of knowledge. Make sure you're advancing yourself. I mean, obviously, Ascendo is a big help on that. RAMS, other types of symposiums. Keep advancing your core body of knowledge on the subject. And yes, become conversant with risk management and the risk management tools and the standards, not as the end-all be-all, but in order to be able to communicate with management and characterize what their objectives are in back to the core principles that you're knowledgeable about.
Yeah, very good. All right, so let's ask our listeners, you know, are you seeing the shift? Are you grappling with different ISO standards or various risk management programs? If you're in the reliability world, which I suspect many of our listeners are you seeing that you're being tapped to help organize or participate in organization-wide risk management type stuff? Is that I would expect that for some of us, it's going to push us into more business-focused type things, considering marketing and other topics that are things I think we should be thinking about anyway. But it's beyond just the lab and doing a single product development process. It's a good thing. So what do you think? Let us know. Head over to reliability.fm and you can find Speaking of Reliability and the other shows and the podcast network, and leave us a comment and get in touch with us directly if you'd like. The about pages all include comment pages, and I think every single contributor to Ascendo is up on LinkedIn and has many ways to get in touch with us. But we'd love to hear from you. What's your take on this newest, is it a fad? What's most valuable and how's it affecting you? I think would be the base questions I would have. Or if you've got questions, please join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. So with that, Carl, I think we're going to, I'm going to put on my shin guards because I've been chopping wood lately, and I found that one of the risks I face there is chunks of wood falling into my legs, and I'm all scraped up. I haven't broken a leg yet, but I think I should take these warnings earlier and
for these good big chunks of wood. Yeah. Well, I enjoyed chatting with you today, Fred.
All right. Thanks, Carl. We'll talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.